Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we are going to get back to the Kansas City Royals. The Royals yesterday beat the New York Yankees. One more win against the Yankees, and that is what they call a series win against a team that they could potentially see in the postseason. Let's get to the NFL. We have wrapped up week one. We are a day away from resuming week two. We will see the Bills and the Dolphins play each other. That game is tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. I actually like the Bills in that one. I saw a stat. Josh Allen is 11-4 against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins, they have had a very busy week. Their wide receiver is playing Nelson Mandela and talking about the police and justice. It's a lot going on with the Miami Dolphins. I think they are losing this week at home, and you guys already know. I don't think the Dolphins are that good of a team, and they certainly have not shown me that they can beat a team that I think is going to make the postseason like the Buffalo Bills. All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play a very simple game. The game is called Patience or Panic. We have seen every team in the National Football League play over the course of the last week, and Rob is going to ask me, am I pressing the panic button, or am I going to show these teams a little bit more patience as we head into the second week?
All right, Carrington, let's start patience or panic with the riffraff. I'm not going to go through each individual team, but in the AFC, the Broncos, the Raiders, Tennessee Jags, the Colts, and the Browns, they all started 0-1. Of that group of teams that we didn't really believe in coming into the season, was there a team in that grouping that you felt, you know what, they showed me a little something in week one?
I don't know if this team showed me a whole lot, but you know what? I'm not going to press the button yet on Jacksonville. Jacksonville lost on the road to Miami on a last-second game-winning field goal. They've got Cleveland at home this week. Cleveland looked lifeless offensively last week. They have a manageable division, not too difficult of a schedule. I don't think you can press the panic button on Jacksonville. I'm going to give Jacksonville a couple of more weeks. Those other teams, you're right, I wasn't super high on Denver coming into the season, wasn't super high on the Las Vegas Raiders, so we can cast those teams aside. If you're asking me right now, out of that grouping of 0-1 teams, Jacksonville, they got Cleveland this week, can easily, Cleveland at home this week, can easily get back to 1-1 and start from there.
Let's stick with the theme of riffraff before we get some actual teams we should patient or panic about. Into the NFC, we got the Commanders, we got the Giants, we got the Panthers, and we got the Cardinals. Woof. Anyone in that grouping that you think, hold on, wait a minute, they might be a little something in 2024?
Yeah, I'm going to say the Arizona Cardinals, kind of for the same reason that I just gave you about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they did score. I mean, it wasn't a lot of teams that put up points this past week. They were one of the teams that did put up points. They scored 28 points on the road in Buffalo. They got the Rams this week, so that's a 50-50 game. They actually have three straight home games. So they have the Lions, the Rams, and Washington. If you can go 2-1 in that stretch and then be 2-2 as you get to a more difficult part of your schedule on the road against San Francisco, we don't know about Green Bay on the road against them with the health and status of what Jordan Love's going to be. I don't think there's any reason to eject on Arizona if you thought they were going to be a surprise team because they lost on the road in Buffalo in week one.
All right, Karen, let's get some actual teams we had expectations for in 2024. Let's stick in the NFC before we pivot back to the AFC. Let's start with Ladd's favorite team, Ladd Army, stand up. The Falcons started 0-1 and lost to a team that did not score a touchdown. Are you patient or panicked with Kirk Cousins and the boys?
You know what? I'm going to press a little bit of the panic button here because it now, I would say, forces you. You either have to go on the road and beat Philadelphia or sorry, you have to beat Kansas City. You cannot start 0-3 if you're the Atlanta Falcons. And I actually think that we all kind of discredited Tampa Bay a little bit too much in the offseason. We saw all the shiny new pieces that they have in Atlanta, and we forgot that, hey, that Buccaneers team is the one that's been to the postseason in five consecutive years. That's the team that's won the division last year. They might have the best quarterback in the division. If you're telling me you're in a position where you feel you got to either beat Philadelphia on the road or Kansas City, I think you have to press the panic button, because then you have really eaten up a lot of your margin for error, and you got to get going after that. They got New Orleans, Tampa, Carolina, so the other three teams in their division right after that, Seattle. If you're going to lose those first two, you cannot afford to lose those three games that you have in a row at home. So I'm going to press the panic button right now for Atlanta. That was one you thought you were going to get at home against Pittsburgh. They didn't score a touchdown in week one. You're at the crib. You got to figure out a way to win that. You spent all this money. You spent all these draft picks on offensive pieces to score 10 points. No.
Sticking with the theme of hurt or coming off an injury quarterbacks, let's head to the NFC North with your MVP pick, Jordan Love in the Green Bay Packers. They started 0-1, and Jordan Love is in fact hurt. It's Malik Willis time in Lambeau. Are you staying patient with the team you were a believer in, or are you panicked that Jordan Love is going to be watching from the sideline?
I'm really torn, because I believe in Matt LaFleur. I believe in the pieces that they have offensively. I think Malik Willis now becomes the worst starting quarterback in the league for the next couple of weeks. The kid can't play. He really can't play. I'm going to press the panic. You know what? I'm not going to press the panic button. Final answer. I'm going to show a little bit of patience. Let me see how they look this week at home against Indianapolis. Let me see how they look. I was impressed by Indianapolis. I thought Anthony Richardson looked good. I thought he might have had the throw of week one, that long down the field pass to Alec Pierce. I'm not going to press it, though. It's still a home game at Lambeau. You got Matt LaFleur. You can run the ball. You got some weapons. You don't need Malik Willis to go out there and be crazy. Can he throw for 170 to 185 yards? Can he not turn the football over? Can you run the football effectively with Josh Jacobs? If you do that, you got a chance to win a home game against the Colts. I'm not going to press it. I'm going to show a little bit of patience, because I do like the rest of the roster.
I mean, if the game plan is throw for 170 in 2024, that sounds like panic, but I'll let you be patient.
Did you watch this week in the NFL? I mean, you might actually lead the NFL in passing. You throw for 185 yards. You might be a Pro Bowler. You consistently throw for 185 yards in this league.
That's fair. Our final team in the NFC that we're going to ask patience or panic, it's your favorite team in the NFC. It's the Los Angeles Rams. They were a darling preseason yet again. I saw Nick Wright had Matt Stafford as a top five quarterback in the league, but they went on the road and lost in week one yet again to the Lions. Are you staying patient with the Rams, or are you panicked?
I'm gonna panic, because a team lost on the road to maybe the best team in the NFC in overtime? No, I'm not pressing the panic button on the Los Angeles Rams. No, not at all. Not at all. Not when they got Sean McVay and a healthy Matthew Stafford. No, not at all. Now, they do have a loss of Puka Nacua, but you still got Cooper Kupp there. You got Kyren Williams. We were having this conversation about who their number one running back is going to be. It's him. It's not Blake Corum. Blake Corum is their kick return, kind of do everything guy. I liked him coming out of Michigan, but we got to start talking about Kyren Williams like he's one of the 10 best running backs, at least 10 most productive backs in the National Football League. Yeah, I'm not ready to press the panic button just yet on Los Angeles. I like them coming into the season. Them losing on the road against the Lions, I thought they were going to lose to the Lions. No, no panic for me.
Speaking of teams that are playing good teams, let's talk about the AFC. The New York Jets, 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 Jets. They played maybe the best team in the NFC on Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers still has not completed a game as the head of the quarterback, of the Jets. Are you staying patient with Robert Saleh's boys, or are you in full-out panic if you are part of Team Green in New York?
Now, I want to say patience. They have Tennessee, New England, and Denver over the course of the next month. And they got Minnesota, too. So their next four games are against those teams. I got to press the panic button. I don't think Robert Saleh is a good head coach. And a team that prides itself on being great defensively, that's why you go get Robert Saleh, because he was the Niners defensive coordinator. The Jets defense is not good. They don't have a good defense. They don't have a good coach. And they got a 40-year-old quarterback who is coming off an Achilles. No, I'm not pressing that. The Jets are going to let you down. The Jets are going to lose one of these next three games to Tennessee, New England, or Denver. I don't know which one. I could see them losing two of these next three games. Oh, I was not a Jets believer at the beginning of the season. Certainly nothing happened on Monday Night Football that would make me change my position. And now I'm a believer with what I saw. That was the same Jets team as before. They just have spent more on the quarterback to lose.
Our final team in Patience or Panic, the Chiefs' opponents in Week 2. The Bengals took maybe the worst loss in the NFL in Week 1, or the...
No, ain't no maybe to it.
It was a bad loss, and now T. Higgins not seen at practice again today, with Jamar Chase battling a bad case of contractitis. Are you a believer in the Bengals and staying patient, or are you in full-on panic mode with Burrow's weird wrist video that's populated the internet?
You know what? I'm not going to press the panic button. I'm going to show some patience towards Cincinnati. Now, I think they're going to lose Sunday to the Chiefs. Right after that, they got Washington and Carolina. So they might start 0-2. They can easily be back at 2-2 as they head to Baltimore in the first Sunday in October. So I'm not going to press the panic button. I don't think there's a reason to press the panic button right now. I'm going to show a little bit of patience with Cincinnati. They've shown they match up well against Kansas City. If there's any team that's a 6-point dog that you think can go into Kansas City and win, it's Cincinnati. And they got Washington and Carolina the month. So I'm not at that point yet. I like Cincinnati at the beginning of the year. They historically start slow. I did see some things that are concerned. Rob, you tried to tell me all offseason about Cincinnati. Maybe it's my own stubbornness. But I'm not going to press that panic button. I'm going to show a little bit of patience. Let's see how the Bengals month closes out. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about the Royals. Let's talk some Royals baseball. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show. His name is Jacob Milham. He covers the Royals. We're happy to tell you guys that he will be on the show every Wednesday until the Royals are eliminated. Jacob, we are happy to finally have you be friend of the show, man. How are you doing today?
Ooh, man, that made my day, Carrington. I'll tell you that much. Ooh, I love it.
Absolutely, man. Let's just get started with this, man. I don't think people are maybe giving enough respect to Seth Lugo in the lens of that's one of the best road performances in Yankee Stadium history, what he did yesterday. And you and I, the last time that we talked, we asked the question, was Lugo starting to hit that ceiling? Was he getting to that point? I mean, his last three starts, he has a 0.86 ERA. And as this team is starting to head into more important games, they're going to need this version of Seth Lugo to continue.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is, and to be frank, for folks who don't know, Seth Lugo, he's kind of been a career reliever, right? Last year was his first real year as a full-time starter. So the Royals did take a gamble here, and it certainly looks like it's paying off right now. Now he's going to eclipse 200 innings, which is a lot in modern day baseball. And I was concerned you know, he's getting a little bit of a weary arm as the season goes along. But then what does he do? He goes and pitches 7 shutout innings against the vaunted New York Yankees. I know the East Coast media absolutely gobbled that up, but all in all, Seth Lugo is reestablishing himself as the top guy in this Kansas City Royals rotation, only to be possibly outdone by the man on the mound tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you really want to, like, if you want to dream big, so to speak, I think the pathway for the Royals is a very simple one. You have Reagans go in game 1. You have Lugo go in games 2. You win those both games if you end up being the wild card team. And then once you get into the dance, if you keep getting quality pitching performances the way that they have over the course of the last 2 weeks, you give yourself a chance against anybody. Now, I'm not super interested in playing the Yankees in the postseason. I also would want to avoid Houston as well, just given their track record. But I would be really confident if the Royals get matched up against Baltimore or Cleveland. They can beat either one of those teams.
Yeah, they have. They absolutely have, and they've done so already this year. Houston is the interesting one because, number one, it looks like they're locked into that 3 seed right now. There's a pretty big gap between them and the AL East leader, whoever it's going to be, and the Cleveland Guardians right now. So if I had to bet today, I would bet that the Royals are traveling to Camden Yards to face off against the Baltimore Orioles, these are two very different teams between when they matched up last. Now that's looking well down the road, but I'd be looking at that as the probable wild card matchup, the 4 and 5 seeds and the Orioles and the Royals.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, I mean, if right now, if you're asking me, hey, you got to pick any one of the realistic playoff teams, which one would you pick? I would pick Baltimore. Is that who you would pick, or would you pick someone else?
Number one, early this afternoon, I was thinking, all right, I want to avoid the Houston Astros at all costs after that buzzsaw that the Royals ran into down in Houston not too long ago. But then I go and pull up Houston's schedule, right? They're so streaky, and I get it, MLB teams can be streaky, but the Astros are consistently streaky. Remember, this is the same team that the Royals swept in Kauffman Stadium earlier on this year, and now they're trying to avoid getting swept by the Oakland Athletics. So that's not striking a whole lot of fear into my heart, but I do think that the Royals match up better against the Baltimore Orioles, especially in Camden Yards. So I would certainly pick them over the Astros. I really think those are the only two realistic opponents for the Royals at this point.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham, friend of the show. He is going to be on the show every Wednesday between now and the end of the Royal season. Catch him on the Royal Rundown Pod. He also does great work with Kings of Kauffman. We'll let him tell you more about that at the end of it. Jacob, if you had to guess, how many wins are the Royals going to need to win the division?
To win the division and get over the Cleveland Guardians, it is, number one, that 7-game losing streak really just made cavernous divide between them. We all know that, though. I think the Royals have to win 10, 11 games, but that also coincides with the Guardians posting a losing record over the remainder of the season. They have 17 games left on their slate, so I would think they would have to go 7-10, 8-9 for the Royals to have a realistic chance. And I don't know if the Guardians' schedule really warrants that, right? Like, today they're finishing up a series in Chicago against the lowly White Sox. And just looking at the remainder of the month, there's not a whole lot of, well, I take that back immediately. They have 4 against the Twins and 3 against the Astros. So maybe if they stumble in those series, maybe the division is more realistic. I would give the Royals about like a 10% chance of winning the AL Central. A lot of things have to line up.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is right now on FanDuel, the Royals over under on wins is 88.5. You would have to think that they have to get to 90 wins if they're going to catch Cleveland. I mean, right now Cleveland has 83 wins. So even in that scenario where you mentioned it, if they go 7-10, that gets them to 90 wins. I just don't think you're winning the American League Central with 86 wins, 87 wins. You're going to probably have to win 90 or 91 in order to win the division.
Yeah, I think 91 is that sweet spot, Carrington. I think that's what both teams need to be down right now. You know, the Guardians, that gives them 8 wins, or excuse me, that gives them only an 8-9 record over the remainder of the season. But, you know, just a lot has to go right for the Royals. I would personally take the under on that bet, if you're asking me. I think they're going to finish with about 88 to 87 wins, which is still great. It's still respectable, don't get me wrong. But it's not going to win the AL Central, especially when you have the Minnesota Twins in the wild card, and also you have the Detroit Tigers only 3 games back behind the Twins right now.
Right now, we're talking to Jacob Milham for a couple more minutes here. He's going to be our Royals insider, our bonus Royals insider for the rest of the season. He's going to join us every Wednesday. Which one of the new additions offensively do you think have provided the most value for this team? You look at Paul DeJong. He's been really good for this team. Tommy Pham has been really good over the last couple of days when they picked him up from waivers for the St. Louis Cardinals. A lot of the moves that this front office made have really worked and have really given this team a push in the second half of the season. And which one has been your favorite?
My favorite has to be Tommy Pham. I was, for anyone who's listened or read my reading, I did voice my concerns over, hey, this is a guy we've heard about, some of the locker room stuff. It's a known thing for many years. But to his credit, he did admit that he hates losing. Right? And that is what the Royals locker room needed right now. He's the guy that's going out there in the leadoff spot day in, day out, setting the table for Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. And frankly, he's doing a good job, all right? He's hit safely in 6 of his last 9 games, got a 308 OBP, 4 extra base hits. Like, it's not amazing stuff out of the leadoff spot, but it is still much, much better than what the Royals had before he came in. So I am very, very pleased with Tommy Pham.
So we've been asking this question to our Royals guys, and I want to ask you this same question. We asked it yesterday to Joel Goldberg. Let's say that it is game 1 of the wild card series. They are on the road and they are playing Baltimore. It is a 5-4 game. It is heading into the 7th inning. So the Royals got 9 outs left. How are you handling the final 9 outs of the game?
Man, you would have made it really easy, Carrington, if you just said the 9th. That's a doozy, I ain't gonna lie. It is, number one, this bullpen, there's no sure thing coming out of that pen right now. It is so disappointing. But if, let's see, wild card, game 1 you said, right?
Yeah, game 1.
Man, game 1. I would... This is a little bit of a doozy. I would have to start off with Chris Bubich if the lefty matchup is there. And then this is where it gets a little tricky. I would go Brady Singer in the 8th.
Oh wow!
In a 3-game series, I don't think Brady Singer is going to start game 3. Not saying he doesn't have the talent, but his stuff and his arsenal matches up so much better in a relief role. That is what I believe. But him setting the table for Lucas Erceg in the 9th, I feel confident seeing that come out of the pen. I really do right now. So Bubich, Singer is the curveball there, and then Lucas Erceg in the 9th. Because frankly, Carrington, like who else would you put in that 3rd role other than Singer?
I mean, that's a really good question. I hadn't really thought about it, but you're right. I mean, if you're not going to use him as a starter, and I mean, winning these 3 games is all that matters at this point. We can deal with Thursday when we get to Thursday, but we got to deal with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Singer in the 8th inning to fix a lot of their problems does make a lot of sense.
Listen, I don't know if manager Matt Quatrero feels the same way or not. I would feel most comfortable seeing him come out of the pen. Sam Long has been a great buy low acquisition, a minor league deal, and now he has been one of the linchpins of this bullpen. But he's kind of waned a little bit recently. Daniel Lynch, I really prefer him in that multi inning role. There's a couple other guys, but all in all, I have questions and concerns about nearly everyone coming out of this bullpen right now, so why not toss out Brady Singer?
All right, last thing here, Jacob, for people that want to hear more Royals content from you, where would they go?
Listen, you can find the Royals Rundown podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Me and Jeremy Greco are actually about to record the podcast here in about 30 minutes. That'll be coming out tomorrow morning. Plus, you can go and support the team over at Kings of Kauffman, myself, Mike Gillespie, and a few new faces are over there talking about the Royals every single day. So you can go check me out there.
Jacob, the only other question I want to know before we make this thing official, are you a Dippin' Dots guy?
I am a Dippin' Dots guy.
You know what,
I
Jacob?
I really am.
You know what, Jacob? You are right with me, man. You can come back next week, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, I like it. I like it, Carrington. Thanks for having me on, sir. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That is Jacob Milham joining us on the show today. He is going to be our bonus Royals insider. The Royals are going to the playoffs. We got Vern on Friday, but you got to build up a rotation. You got to build up a staff. So Jacob is going to join us every Wednesday until the Royals are eliminated. Really happy to have him on board. I hadn't really given much thought to the Brady Singer idea. I actually really like the Brady Singer idea that could really help solve a lot of their bullpen problems heading into the postseason. I asked that question. I create that scenario because we know that's going to happen. In one of their wild card games, they are going to need to figure out the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning. We all think they have the ninth inning figured out. You got to figure out how you create that bridge to get to the ninth inning. And do they have two arms, two guys that you really trust? Singer is an arm that I trust. That's a good solution to a problem that they have.
It's a way of, and we talked about this at the start of the show, about how you feel really confident in the Royals starters. And coming down the stretch, they are rounding back into the form we have seen all year from the starters. It's a way of taking a strength and helping a weakness, because I assume in the scenario Jacob Milham laid out why he picked Singer is he's probably going Reagans or Lugo in game one, the other one in game two, and then Waka in game three, which means Brady Singer has a chance to be a real problem out of the bullpen. I know it's not a one-for-one analogy, but Carrington Murr in 2014, that wild card game, they brought in Brandon Finnegan. Now, he was a rookie, but they had drafted him to be a starter, and they said, welcome to the playoff roster. Go get some outs, young man. That's your job. Crank it up and get three for us. If you're telling Brady Singer or even Michael Waka, pick your starter in a three-game series, hey, we just need you to get 3 to 6 outs, crank it up to 100, and then we'll kind of deal with the ramifications later. It is not a bad idea, but having said all that, to play devil's advocate, isn't that what the Royals tried in 2014 with Yordano Ventura? Hey, we have a great starter. It's a wild card singular game. He's a fireballer. Let's bring him in, and he'll be the bridge to our great bullpen. And it was the opposite of a good decision. So on paper, it looks smart, but I've seen it in practice backfire with Yordano Ventura.
I want to give you, I made a definitive list. This is the list that I think in the order for the Chiefs' rivals. So this week, they play the Cincinnati Bengals. There's certainly no love lost between these two teams. Ja'Marr Chase doesn't seem to like them. They don't seem to like Ja'Marr Chase. They don't seem to like Joe Burrow. He doesn't seem to like us. It's a beef. I tell you all the time, I believe that college sports rivalries are forever. I don't care what conference Kansas is in and what conference Missouri's in. That's my team's rival. I don't like Kansas. I shouldn't like Kansas. I cheer for Missouri. You, Rob, you shouldn't like Missouri. You graduated from the University of Kansas. That's what makes college sports so fun. That's why we like it. In professional sports, I believe that rivalries are different. I believe that rivalries are based on competition and two teams that are fighting for the same thing. Let me give you my list. I don't need any music for this, Rob. Let me give you my list of how I would rank as of today. This is the current standing power rankings Chiefs rivals. Number 5, I have the Denver Broncos. Number 4, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. Number 3, the Buffalo Bills. Number 2, the Baltimore Ravens. And number 1, I have the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the Bengals are the Chiefs' rival right now. It is the right combination of trash talk amongst the players, trash talk amongst the fans. There has only been one current AFC quarterback that has gone to the Super Bowl during the Mahomes era. It's the quarterback on the Cincinnati Bengals. They have a winning record against Kansas City in the regular season. They are 500 against them in the postseason. They beat the Chiefs in the AFC championship game. I think right now it is undeniable that their biggest rival is the Cincinnati Bengals. That's how I would rank it. 5, the Broncos, 4, the Chargers, 3, the Bills, 2, the Ravens, and 1, the Cincinnati Bengals. 913-586-7965. Rob, do you agree?
I know it's, I agree with you on pro rivalries are born out of winning and losing. But the fact that you don't have the Raiders even in the top 5 is confusing to me. I'm not saying they're one. The Bengals are clearly above them. I think the Ravens got a little talkative, a little chippy. I think they're clearly above them. But the Raiders beat the Chiefs last year at Arrowhead. They beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead 4 years ago, and they took a literal victory lap. The Chiefs then built a play making fun of them with the ring around the Rosie play. Like, Max Crosby is on podcast saying he hates Patrick Mahomes. Josh Jacobs said he refused to sign with the Chiefs in free agency. And even though that story sounds like absolute BS to me, the Raiders have to be in the top 5. They have to be. There's some on-the-field bad blood that exists, and the fan bases hate each other.
Are you swapping out then the Broncos for the Raiders?
Yes.
And right now the Broncos rivalry? If you argue in the Broncos rivalry feels a little bit dormant right now, I wouldn't fight you too hard on that. I don't think you can move the Raiders higher up than these other teams. I don't think you can. You guys get way too mad when somebody picks the Chargers to win the division for me to think that they're not the biggest rival to the Kansas City Chiefs. They're the only team that even has a quarterback that you think kind of matches up with Kansas City. They got a new head coach. The Chargers are the most viable of the other three AFC West teams. There is obviously still a clear gap between the Chiefs and the Chargers and the other teams in the division. Those top three teams to me are undeniable. Now, we'll see if Houston can get into that conversation. You haven't played a meaningful game against their quarterback. You haven't played their quarterback, period. So we'll see if CJ Stroud can get into this conversation. But you've played a playoff game against these first three teams, like memorable playoff games. You've played all three of these teams in the AFC championship game. That's better than some, oh, they beat you in week 5 and they went ring around the rosy, or in training camp they had a Patrick Mahomes Muppet doll. You guys look down on the Raiders. You mock the Raiders. You don't do that with Cincinnati or Baltimore or Buffalo. You know that those are going to be tight, highly contested games and teams that have a chance of going to the Super Bowl. So the highest I'm willing to put the Raiders on this list is 5. If you're telling me they're on the list over the Broncos, and that's the agreement that we come to, Rob, I'm cool to do that. I'm not putting them higher than 5, though.
I was actually astonished that you had the Broncos on the list. That was my other beef. Since Peyton Manning left Denver, what have the Broncos done on the field based on your own criteria?
Raiders ain't done nothing on the field either, though.
They've beaten the Chiefs twice in Arrowhead.
Okay.
They've beaten them here.
That's fair.
It has happened. That's a thing.
That's all you got to do is just you can be 12-14 against the Chiefs.
The Broncos have been like Navy up against Notre Dame. It's like 38 straight wins, just a whooping every time. And now Bo Nix is better at throwing to the opponent than his own team. If you're going to tell me the criteria is some on-the-field wins, the Broncos can't be 1-19 in the last 20 games against the Chiefs, and they somehow rise to rival because Russell Wilson used to be corny.
The Raiders ain't that much better against the Chiefs than the Broncos.
Up the wins.
They ain't that much better.
Also, none from the Chargers either.
You want to know what the difference is? The difference is like how good Missouri's been against Kansas versus how K-State's been against Kansas. They're still wildly better than those other two teams. But yeah, they just want a little bit more than the other ones. That's what it feels like. All right, K-State fan, I want to take this time again to apologize to you because I know you guys are going to send me some tweet or we get voicemails to the station. You K-State fans, we have a love-hate relationship, even though I don't have any of the hate towards you guys. On Wednesdays, we are going to have college football players on from the local teams that won. Missouri won and K-State won. Yes, that is true. We are going to have a Missouri player on, Christian Williams. He's going to be on the show after the break. We planned on having a K-State player, but because they play on Friday, their media schedule was just off. And the only time that we could have had him on was Monday. And I'm sorry, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes on the show than Avery Johnson. So you guys just got to be mad this week. But Rob can confirm. We have been told by K-State Athletics that if they win on Friday, Avery Johnson will be on the show next week. That's what they told us. So let's hope that they win against Arizona. I'm still trying to go to the game against Arizona. If you got a tailgate, let me know so I can pull up and we can eat wings and ribs. And I don't know what else you guys eat over there, but I'm sure it's great. We'll do that. Coming up on the other side. And we're also going to have Wyatt Thompson and we're going to have John Kurtz on the show this week. So K-State fan, we're trying to throw you an olive branch. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
So for those of you that are new to the show, this is what we do. Every Wednesday, we have a player on from one of the three local schools if their team wins. So this week, we cannot have a KU player. They lost. Hopefully, we have a player on this upcoming week because they beat UNLV. We were unable to get a K-State player this week because of their schedule. They play on Friday as opposed to Saturday, so it kind of changed their media availability. Didn't really line up, but they told us that we would get Avery Johnson next week if they win. Excited? I've never talked to Avery Johnson before. So we do have a Missouri player this week. He plays defensive line. His name is Christian Williams. He is going to be the Missouri representative for them since their team won. Good luck to them this week against Boston College. I will be in attendance for that one. My first question to Christian is, how did you enjoy the new college football game? You're in it.
I had gave my copy away to a little kid, but from the experiences that I had with it at the SEC Media Day and then just playing it on my older brother's game, I mean, put like this, STP, it's a lot to prove on the game. Of course, it's a great game, you know, but, you know, it can have some improvements on it. So I'm not really just too judgy about it.
All right, right now we're talking to Christian Williams. He plays D-line at the University of Missouri. This is where we ask you just random questions to learn more about you. There is an internet controversy right now. Kendrick Lamar was announced for the halftime show. A lot of people think that Lil Wayne should be the halftime show performer. Who do you think it should be? Should it be Kendrick or should it have been Lil Wayne?
Ah, I give all my credit to both of them, but if I had to pick one, I'd probably pick Wayne, man. I'd probably pick Wayne. I grew up listening to Wayne.
All right, what's one thing that you have on your bucket list? What's one thing that you want to accomplish?
Bucket list, I would probably say go skydiving. Or just travel all continents. One of the two. That's probably like one of the top ones for me.
I can't imagine just going out there and just tackling somebody for a living. It seems really painful. You do it every day. I can't imagine sitting in a perfectly good plane and then wanting to jump out of it. Doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense, Christian.
Man, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I can't lie. So, I mean, I love stuff that gives me thrill. I love stuff that just takes me out of my comfort zone.
Have you ever gone, like, bungee jumping or anything? Have you done anything close to skydiving?
I mean, if roller coasters count. Other than that, nah, I need to. I'm definitely going to make a plan to do that within the next year or two.
I'm going to tell you a story, Christian. I was a kid. I went to Six Flags in St. Louis, and there was this roller coaster. It was called the Mine Train. I got on that thing, and I'm telling you, it was the most terrifying experience of my life. I've never been on a roller coaster since. I don't want anything to do with them. Keep them away from me.
How was the Mine Train? Like, what you had to do on it?
I mean, now in hindsight, it probably was a 4 out of 10. But when you're 9 years old and you get on this thing, I'm telling you, it felt like it lasted for an hour. We going up and down, and it was too much. I haven't gotten on one since.
You might have to put that on your bucket list, huh?
No, I don't want to know. I don't not put it on my bucket list. No, I don't want any parts of those roller coasters. You know where I'm fine. Like, I'm the guy, you know who I am. I'm the guy that will hold the jackets while you get on the ride, and I'm the one who's going to hold the purse. Somebody has to protect our things at the amusement park, and that person's me.
Underappreciated.
Let's say that I give you two tickets, you and whomever you want to take. You can go to one place in the United States, and then I'll give you two tickets for somewhere outside the United States. Where are you taking your trips?
inside the United States, I would probably say I've been just about everywhere except for New York. So I would say New York. Out of the country, I would probably say I'm going to just go out on a limb and say something like London or something. I don't know.
All right, a couple more random questions here for Christian Williams. He plays D-line at Missouri. All right, would you rather have pizza every day for breakfast, or would you rather have pancakes for dinner every day?
Pancakes for dinner every day, easy.
See, I
stop eating cheese.
All right, see, this is why I'm picking pizza. This is why. There's so many different kinds of pizza. You can have a breakfast pizza. You can have sausage. You can have pepperoni. You can have supreme. If I'm eating pancakes every day, there's not too many ways I can dress up the pancakes. I'm going to get tired of the pancakes way before I get tired of the different versions of pizza.
You're right on that. You're definitely right. What about like a McGriddle, though? Would that be considered a pancake?
No, because then you got sausage and I got egg and bacon. No, that's a well-balanced breakfast, a McGriddle. No, you can't count a McGriddle. That doesn't count. You're trying to find different rules for the question, Chris. That's not how it goes.
I'm going to take pancakes, dude. I'm going to take it. You definitely made a point on that, though, as far as just how many different things you can do with pizza.
All right, so you can pick either having your shoes be two sizes too big all the time or you have to wear a size down. Which one would you rather have? So your shoes are going to be too big. So I don't know if, like, I wear a 13. That'd be either me wearing a 15 or me wearing a 12. Which one would you rather do?
See, I wear a 15, and I for sure don't have no intentions on wearing a 17. So I'm just going to take the one size down and give it a 14.
All right, last one here. If you could be best friends with any fictional character, so like somebody in a movie, somebody in a TV show, a superhero, a fictional character, who would you pick to be one of your best friends?
Fictional character. I would probably go with, I'd probably say a Joker, man. I don't know. I just feel like his personality is just something that's kind of contagious that you want to be around. But I don't know. I'd probably say the Joker.
That was the most D-line answer I've ever heard in my entire life. That's the most defensive lineman answer I have ever heard. That is Christian Williams joining us on the show. He plays at the University of Missouri. You know what, Christian? Every time you guys win, we want you to come back on the show, man.
Man, as long as y'all invite me, man, I'm there, man. I appreciate that.
That is Christian Williams joining us on the show. So the parameter was they said that we could have any Missouri player this week that wasn't Luther Burden or Brady Cook. We picked Christian. We had him on during SEC Media Day, and we loved him. He's going to be our Missouri representative. Rob, I wish we could have a KU player on this week, but you guys lost.
Don't lie. You're happy there's no KU player on this week because you're happy KU lost.
Can I tell you a secret? I actually do want them to lose on Saturday. I don't usually actively root against them. I just want to see what KU fan is going to respond with if their team starts 1-2 and they lost at, oh my, it's going to be so good. Twitter's going to be great. Twitter's going to be better than it was last night. Twitter last night was great. Twitter with panic KU fan, oh, that's my favorite. That's my favorite social media time. So part of me does kind of want them to lose on Saturday. I normally don't root against KU football. I don't got nothing against them. On a basketball team, I never want to see the basketball team win. Under any there's never been a time I want to see you guys happy with the basketball program. The football team, I just kind of leave them alone. Which one are you picking out of the random question? Are you picking two sizes up, or are you just going one size smaller?
One size smaller. I don't like sliding around in my shoes. I can be uncomfortable. Like, have you ever gone like paintballing? Like, I gotta wear some nasty old shoes. They're probably a little small, but that's life.
Okay. Well, I just was wondering what fictional character would you pick? You know, the one that popped in my head, Vince Vaughn's character in The Breakup. He just seems like a great guy to hang out with. I would love to just have a beer and watch football with Vince Vaughn's character from The Breakup. That'd be my guy.
What? Your obsession with The Breakup, it's always puzzles
me. It's the greatest
it's not even his
rom-com
best role.
Ever made.
It's not even his best role.
That and Hitch, two classic movies.
Wow. Not even picking Vince Vaughn's best character is just insane to me.
He was a good friend in The Breakup. He wasn't a good friend in Wedding Crasher. I don't want to be friends with the guy from Wedding Crasher. He would leave me behind.
He did the opposite of that. He stuck it out and went to that house in Nantucket because Owen Wilson was trying to seal the deal.
Yeah, I had to, but I got to convince my man to stay. My man was about to leave me. He was about to catch the ferry out of here, and I had to do a lot of begging and pleading to try to get him to stay, to try to be my friend. It was terrible friend he was in that movie.
All I know is he's the epitome of team player.
No, he was not a team player at all. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Joe Burrow. He said something this offseason that kind of got swept under the rug. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.